Now, on the 7th of December, Dungarvan man John Stack officially launched his Christmas single, Christmas in My Town, on Spotify, iTunes and all the relevant platforms. And it's an absolutely gorgeous single with a very fitting tribute story behind it. And I am delighted to say that John joins me on the line this morning. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Not at all, glad. And congratulations. You must be delighted with the single, are you?
Yeah, thanks very much. It's the reaction seems to be very good so far. We launched it, I suppose. Dungarvan have a 6-week festival of lighting called Dungarvan Aglow, and we launched it at the opening of that festival. And from the off, it just seems to have captured people's hearts, and it seems to be going well. Yeah,
and there's a really nice. Nice story, I suppose, is probably the wrong way to describe, but it's a very fitting tribute story behind why and how the whole single came about. Would you like to tell the listeners what or who this single is in tribute to?
Absolutely, yeah. There was a well-known street entertainer / DJ / all-round funny guy, lovely guy. His name was Michael Wright. He would be better known to people as the Mad Hatter. He was from Dungarvan. He was an ordinary man, an ordinary council job in an ordinary house. But when he became the alias of the Mad Hatter, he became one of the best entertainers that I have ever come across. He was the kind of guy who has forgotten more about entertaining than most people will ever know. But aside from that, the real thing about Michael was that he gave and gave and gave so much to the town. Every time there was a festival on, Michael was the guy in the lorry spinning the decks. He was the guy entertaining the kids. He was the guy playing all the tricks, having all the banter with the people. People would come just because he was there. He was a huge inspiration to anybody, say, in the locality who was involved in the arts. He'd touch base with you and say, "How's your singing going?" or "How's the play going?" or "How's the acting going?" He was one of these guys who was just ooze positivity. And unfortunately, in January of this year, just after Christmas, he was killed tragically in a road accident. He was walking and he was hit by a vehicle. And it's fair to say that on that particular night, the town stood still. There was a silence. It was one of these moments where people ask, "Where were you, you know, on the night that you heard, or what were you doing when you heard?" Because everybody, it just left a hole in everybody that, I suppose, still isn't filled and probably never will be filled, because in my mind he was the greatest showman. He was the original greatest showman. And so with this particular song, what I was trying to do was I was trying to give the people of Dungarvan a Dungarvan song, a song that we can use to perhaps try and start filling the silence. And I know for a fact that Michael would absolutely love it if a song in his honour became something that people knew. And you know, the whole story behind it, while it's very, very sad, the thing about when you think about Michael, you tend to think about the times that he made you absolutely roar with laughter first, and then you think, "Oh God, he's not here anymore." And this stretches from kids to, like, I've got 3 children. The youngest is 4, and even she, like, when she was 3 last year and Michael was doing his thing at all the different festivals, she would ask now, you know, "Where's the Mad Hatter?" And that would stretch, like I said, from 3 years old to 93. Everybody knew him. Everybody loved him, and this song is inspired by him and dedicated really to anybody who's missing anybody this Christmas, which, you know, let's face it, is everybody. Because Christmas, while it's a lovely time of year for, you know, for children, and there's a lot of happiness, there's a lot of people out there who, you know, who really are missing somebody. And I tried to capture some of that in the lyrics.
And it must be, John, from a songwriting point of view, it must have been a very hard task for you as well, because obviously you knew Michael very well. He was a good friend of yours. You speak with him in such high regard. He was clearly a massive influence on you. It must be very hard as a songwriter to nearly park that grief and write a song, or do you use that grief to drive you on to write a song? How does that work?
Yeah, it's funny. Shortly after he died, I wrote a poem, which became, you know, popular enough down our neck of the woods. And, you know, I'm not a poet, don't get me wrong. I just, these words came into my head and I wrote them, and the family loved it, and so they wanted me to say it at the graveside, and once that happened, other people wanted it, and whatever. But me personally, I would be more at ease with, you know, with music. And so one night, it's funny because the song, I suppose, started about 18 months ago, because I was going to sing a song, I was going to write a song, a Christmas song, about Dungarvan, and one of the lines that was in it was going to be about Michael on the stage. So then Michael passed away, and this particular air just kind of stayed in my head, and I said, well, I'd love to do something with it, and it's sad to say, but I suppose Michael's passing was the catalyst for another idea that just kicked off, and I said, why don't I continue to write a Christmas song, but, you know, completely change it and change the mood of it, and make it about Michael. And when I did sit down to write it, it's funny, my whole family were gone to bed, the kids were in bed, my wife went to bed, and that's when I kind of start, these creative juices start running in my head, and I could stay up till 3 or 4 in the morning. But this particular night, I sat up at the kitchen table, just took out my guitar, just started strumming, and I more or less wrote down pretty much what came into my head first, because I kind of felt that whatever this is going to be, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, I wanted it to be heartfelt. And rather than being really, really sad, I found myself, it's like as if I was writing it with Michael, that Michael was at the other end of the table, and I'd write down a line, and I could almost hear him say, yeah, that's good, keep that. Or, you know, I said, nah, we'll leave that one out, you know. And so when I had the song finished, what I do is I just sing it into my phone, just so I can, you know, kind of remember it, and the song didn't really change much since that initial draft, which took maybe 2 hours, you know. And I remember as I was writing it, you know, yeah, I suppose the backstory is very, very sad, but like I say, when I was writing it, I was actually kind of fulfilled or something. There was like a glow inside, because I really felt that, like I say, he was with me, and he was approving of the lines that I put down. Now, I could be completely wrong. The man might absolutely hate it, but I just got that feeling, and it was a nice feeling. It was like a connect again. It was like a way I could connect with him. And hopefully make his memory live on.
Yeah, it sounds almost like it was nearly a spiritual experience for you, that unfortunately with the passing of Michael, I suppose, came the fulfillment of that song, and it nearly sounds like you were meant to complete it in the way that you completed it.
Yeah, and I think as the song was developing in my head, and as I was writing it down, that realization started to come to the fore. And I think that's then what made it more of a happier experience than, as opposed to writing through the tears. Now, I will say, though, there was like little tears shed, you know, when I'd listen back to it every so often, because you just get memories of Michael. But as I said before as well, often the memories we have of Michael are the ones where, like, he would literally have you on the floor laughing. He was so funny, because if he was doing a public gig, you know, you'd love him to single you out, you know, to pick you out and have the banter with you. You'd almost be disappointed if he did.
Yeah.
You know, he was that kind of character. And yet at the same time, when he did pick you out, you were in for an awful time, you know. But I kind of felt that joy when I was writing the song again. Now, the only regret I have is that I never got to write it or something like it while he was alive, because I suppose it takes these things to spark off these emotions or whatever. But I do think it's a song that I reckon if he was alive and he heard it, he'd say, "Will you stop? Don't." He was very humble, and he was very that way inclined. But I think what he would love more than anything is for this song you know, if people got together as a group and sang it collectively, because he was all about people meeting, people talking. He had an aversion to phones and to technology. He said, because people don't know each other anymore. And he was the kind of guy, he'd go out for a walk with his dogs, and he might go out for what would be conceived to be a half-hour walk, and Michael could arrive back 2.5 hours later, having chatted with the town. You know, he always had time for everyone. And so I suppose this is our turn to give a little time back to him and to his family. And one of the things that transpired afterwards, when I don't know if you're going to play in the song. I hope.
Oh no, absolutely am. And you're going to introducing it. That's why I've held it off until after this interview. I'm going to get you to introduce it. I think it's only fitting that you do.
Okay, but one of the things is the song is it's kind of a juxtaposition, really, because if you listen to the lyrics, there's an awful lot of happiness in it. If you play this song to a kid, and I've played it to my kids, and it's for them, it's a happy song, because it's all about the joys of Christmas. But as an adult, and as we get older, we get a little bit more cynical about the world, and things take on a different meaning. Like there's a line in it, for example, that says, "I'm the clown that made you cry." A child will take that as being the clown who made you cry laughing. An adult will take it as a clown who actually made you cry. And so all through the song, there are these lyrics that kids find happy, but adults find sad. And that was an accident. That just kind of happened that way. Now, there are then a couple of lines that are solely focused on Michael. So people would know that backstory around. But it's funny. I'd love for people to, you know, to hear the song. And there's actually two sides to it. But most people that I would come in contact with are the adults, and they all say, "Oh, it's a heartbreaking song." And I suppose the reality is that Christmas is a heartbreaking time for a lot of people.
Yeah, it can. Christmas can be. I mean, we often say it's a great, and it is, and people have lots of fun and families come together. But it's not that for everybody, and we need to remember that as well. It can be a very hard, particularly for families who have lost anyone around Christmas. It is a very hard time. There's no taking from that.
There was a DJ in England last week. He was calling for a banning of the Fairy Tale of New York, which I think would be a travesty given the song and the status that it has. But he was saying that Christmas songs should be all about fluffy snow and reindeer and bells and things. And that's not the reality.
No,
That's really not the reality.
No, it's not. And it is a hard time for people. It'll be a hard time for Michael's family this year as well. There's no taking from that, you know.
Be there first. Going to be their first without him, and the first of many.
Yeah, it's not anybody who thought, "I lost my own father at Christmas Eve." It's not an easy time, and it doesn't get easier as it goes on. You deal with it and you cope with it, but you have to remember that as well. There's other people have different stories when it comes to Christmas as well.
Yeah, and this song will resonate really with people, like I say, who are missing somebody on Christmas, and like I say, that is everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. John, since I got it, I had to listen to it yesterday. I think I've listened to it 3 or 4 times since. It's an absolutely beautiful, beautiful song. You've done an amazing, amazing job in it. It is actually, believe it or not, the first Christmas song that I have played. I have held off and held off. But this is the first Christmas song that I am playing on this show. Will you please introduce it to the listeners?
I will. Hi, everybody. This is John Stack, the author and singer of the song called Christmas in My Town, inspired by and dedicated to Michael Wright. And it's available on iTunes, Spotify, and all music forums. So please, if you like it, spread the word and let's fill the silence left since Michael left us.
John, thanks a million.
Thank you.
I'm the hand that holds you tight. I'm the gathering tonight. I'm the star that burns so bright. I'm the flicker in the light. I'm the smile out of a frown. I'm the music all around. who's looking down on Christmas time in my town. It's Christmas.
How good is that? That is John Stack's Christmas single, Christmas in My Town, now available on Spotify, iTunes and all other streaming sites. Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous track.